Hello and welcome to the Tank Slappers podcast, Autosport and the Motorsport Network's podcast for all things two-wheeled. I am your host, Lewis Duncan, and joining me, as ever, is Oriol Puigdemont. And on this week's show, we're going to be discussing the big talking point from the Portuguese Grand Prix, round five of the 2022 World Championship. Saw the reigning world champion, Fabio Quartararo, finally get his first victory of the season, and in absolutely dominant fashion, Yuri. And it's for a couple of reasons. It's a very important victory, first of all, because it finally gets his championship challenge into a position that we thought it expected it would be already in 2022.
Yes, but at the same time, it was a surprisingly unexpected victory from him. We didn't expect him to be so dominant over this weekend, and not over this weekend, especially on Sunday. And he was, there was nobody able to put in doubt his first win of the season, and it makes the things even more interesting because we were all waiting for him to appear, and he finally made it, and he did it very in such an amazing way.
His last win was Silverstone, and this race was a little bit like that Silverstone race where he was really just in control. He was at one with the bike. It all hinged on the start for Fabio. He was fifth in qualifying, which was fine, but we know if you get stuck behind other bikes, particularly Ducatis, the race becomes more difficult. The start of the race sort of went kind of how we thought it would, in that Joan Mir got to the front, and we all really expected Joan to have more pace than he did, but Fabio caught him really quickly, and then once Fabio was clear, he just disappeared. And it's interesting because we spent all this year talking about the Yamaha, and we know it's power problems, and we know at times it has grip problems, it needs good grip on the track, but this whole weekend we've spoken to different Yamaha riders and they've said different things about the bike, and they all have very different opinions, and Fabio is of the opinion that, and he said this in the press conference, that this bike is actually fantastic. It just has some very big weak points that when they're in bad situations, it looks worse.
Yeah, but I think Yamaha really knows who to listen. And we've seen that also this weekend, even more clear. We know that there are different opinions in between all the Yamaha riders, but you have to follow the fastest one. We've seen also that in Honda with Mark and different and the other riders. But as you can see now, Yamaha needs to follow what its leader says, and there's only one leader in Yamaha. So I think it's pretty clear what the direction they need to follow.
For sure, yeah. If you look at the problems Dovi's had in the bike, it's a riding style thing. Franco's problems are weird because he was finished, where did Franco finish? Somewhere far, far down the order, 13th, which is, for a rider like Franco Morbidelli, is not really good enough, especially on a factory bike.
That's the thing. We haven't seen the Franco that we used to see 2 years ago.
Which is interesting because I asked him, where is Fabio better than you guys right now? He said, well, Fabio's had more time in the bike, which is an odd comment given that they've been on a Yamaha for the exact same amount of time. Yes, Franco has been on a 2019 bike for a couple of seasons, but the DNA is not that much different. Dovizioso said on Friday or Saturday, the DNA of the bike from 2012 when he last rode it is not very different. So that's a hard to understand comment from Franco.
Well, I think at this point, when you see the bike performing that well, let's put it this way: we didn't have any doubt when Mark was so dominant with the Honda, which was Mark making the difference. So why is different now with Fabio?
You can see Fabio makes a difference in the way he rides. You've spoken to people before. You've spoken to people like Ramon Forcada who have said that the thing is Fabio just knows, he knows how to work with his team to get the best from the bike for what he needs. It's not like Fabio is doing stuff for what the bike needs. He's doing what the others can't right now, and they're too busy, like Franco and Dovi are too busy trying to chase a bike that suits them instead of trying to suit the bike, whereas Fabio is like, the bike has strong points, I just need to use them, and he is doing that.
Well, I think at the moment, as many riders have said in the past weeks and months, there is riders for a specific kind of bikes, and there are specific kind of bikes for specific kind of riders or specific riding styles. So, and I would say that with this Yamaha, Fabio is the perfect rider. But I mean, the others, there's not much they can do other than adapt themselves to this bike, because I mean, Yamaha is not gonna make any dramatic change on that bike, especially if like we've seen in Portimao, it's a bike able to win races. So there's not much the others can do other than try to adapt to this Fabio style.
Absolutely. Of course, Fabio now leads the championship, 69 points, and or with 69 points, he's joint with Alex Rins, who we'll talk about in a minute. Kind of an important phase for him, because we know Portimao is generally a good Yamaha track. We know Jerez and Le Mans especially a very good Yamaha track. So he needed really to kind of kick things off here, and he needs to continue that. But more importantly, in terms of 2023 and the rider contracts and stuff and his negotiations with Yamaha, he is now in a much stronger position than he was in Austin.
100%. And I think that the next couple of races will be even more important for him, because if he can make good results in Jerez and Le Mans, his position will be much more powerful, or he will be reinforced by good results in a tracks that theoretically suit the Yamaha. So I think it's a really, really important moment of the season for him and for Yamaha as well, because they need to make good results in a tracks like this, because then we're going to go tracks with different layouts, with more, let's say, high-speed tracks, where probably Ducati and Honda will be a bit more aggressive and will have more chances to fight for good results than Yamaha.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we still kind of aren't seeing the best of Ducati, because Zarco was on the podium after scoring pole. Miller was going well before he crashed into Joan Mir, but again, you know, and obviously Pecco was coming from far back, but Bastianini had a really difficult race and then ultimately crashed. So again, we're seeing a very odd championship. But I think what we can kind of confidently say, or at least I will confidently say, is that Suzuki and Alex Rins are very much a factor in this. I mean, what we saw again on Sunday at Portimao was unbelievable. This is an Alex Rins we've never seen before, coming from 23rd to 4th and only just missing the podium. I mean, the boys figured out whatever was causing these problems last year, and he is doing a great job.
I mean, after the race he did 2 weeks ago in Austin, he said after this race in Portimao that he was even more proud of this race than the one in Austin. It gives you an idea about how in his perfect window Alex is at the moment. I think he's in this, we say in Spanish, sweet moment.
Sweet spot.
Yeah, sweet spot. And again, he is super relaxed, and he makes the things super easy. Apparently, I mean, from outside. And also, he says that he feels super safe and super secure on that Suzuki. And I really believe that if he can keep following this kind of mental status, he will be a title contender.
For sure. And we know Alex can do it, because he's been in every race he's won so far. He's been in very stressful positions, you know, in Austin in 19 with Valentino following him, at Silverstone obviously fighting Mark, and then in Aragon in 2020 when he was hounded by Alex Marquez the whole race. He's never won a race in kind of an easy fashion. So we know that he does have that mental resilience. It just last year, there was too many crashes, battered him down. And he was asked kind of what he did over the winter to try and help that. And he didn't want to talk about it. But I also got the impression that he was a little bit kind of pissed off coming into this, or into his media debrief, because he was saying, nobody believed me that I could come and fight back. And he said he was very thankful for the people he had around him who did. But you can kind of see the frustration in his eyes that people still maybe don't take him quite seriously yet.
Well, I've been in most of his media debriefs. I understand what he says, but at the same time, I think that it's just because of him. I mean, he was the one changing the way of work over the last winter, and because he finally realized that he needed something to make in a different way. And he did it, and now he's getting the results. So I wouldn't blame nobody for not giving him so much credit, other than, I mean, the reality. And the reality is that we are seeing a completely different rider than the one we were used to.
For sure. I'm very interested to see the next few races, because whereas with Fabio and Yamaha, you know, we're going to come to places like Mugello, Catalonia, where the top speed is going to hurt them big time. Suzuki are going to come to tracks, Jerez and Le Mans, good circuits for the Suzuki in general. Mugello and Barcelona will continue to be good circuits for them. So there's a point where if they can keep that up, they can really mount the pressure and take a bit of a charge.
Well, with this gain of top speed, of power that they got with the Suzuki this year, I don't see any bad circuit for this bike. So that's why I think that both Alex and Joan today, I mean, in Portimao, Joan had super bad luck with Jack, but that's why they were doing a really, really good job during this first, let's say, quarter of the season, and I think that they are in the best position for being again in a position to fight for the championship.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it was unfortunate for Juan. He said he felt from the early laps that really they didn't really make the best choice in front tire, but largely that's because they just haven't had enough track time. It was wet all weekend until Q2, and obviously in Q2 you can't be dicking about with race setups because you've got the set qualifying lap. So and then there was a crash with Jack. Not a well-timed crash for Jack, really, given, you know, we think really his time at Ducati is coming to an end. And as you reported on during the weekend, some discussions with Honda and LCR. Certainly in terms of if he wanted to stay within the Ducati fold, it's very hard to justify that right now, given it was a silly crash that didn't need to happen.
No, 100%. I mean, of course, there was no intention, because, it must not be an intention. I mean, it's very difficult to even imagine that any rider can make these kind of things on purpose. But, I mean, of course, Jack apologized, which is really good, and I think Joan accepted that. But it shouldn't happen like this, because it's this kind of crash, and, I mean, this is a very, very, very expensive environment, expensive game, the one these guys and these manufacturers play. So, it was a big one, a big mistake.
Yeah, for sure. It's an incident under investigation at the time of recording. We don't know what the outcome of that will be. I suspect a grid penalty probably would come from that. We've seen similar instances penalized like that. Of course, Aprilia was the big beneficiary there. Aleix Espargaró on the podium. I'll not spend too much time talking about that, because we know the bike's strong, and right now, if they keep doing what they're doing, Aleix will at least be in the frame for the championship. If they can keep it up all season is another question, but the bike, certainly confirmation we've come to a normal circuit, and it's good.
Yeah. I think they're going to lose the concessions really, really, really.
One point?
Yeah, only 1 point left. So the bike performs really good, and Aleix is at its, I would say, it's his peak of his career. So yeah, really, really good, let's say, close future for Aprilia. Let's see if they extend their relationship, because at the moment it is not clear.
You know, you spoke there about Rins being in a sweet moment for himself. I mean, the opposite can be said of Honda, and particularly Mark. We all expected a bit more from Mark in Portugal. Sixth wasn't, we were expecting him to be at least in the podium battle, and it just didn't happen. He just didn't have the pace. All the Honda struggled here, and it's very difficult to understand, because last year they were very good on the old bike, and it was kind of thought that with this new bike and the improvements they made, but really, kind of since Qatar, we haven't seen big progress from Honda, really.
Yeah, well, we've had difficult races to interpretate, but Mark said that he didn't have the pace, and that he understands that most of the people expect much more from him and from Honda, but it's just they are not ready to fight for the top positions, and that he is expecting for the next rounds to be able to fight for top five, maybe at some point for the podium, and that the difference between Portimao and Austin 2 weeks ago is that in Austin he had this speed, his natural speed in Austin, and he didn't have it in Portimao. So, and again, I think we are ahead of a problem or a situation where Honda will have to decide which way they follow. So I think the next coming races will be interesting to see how they react, how the manufacturer reacts, because we have started to listen some, let's say, different opinions from the Honda riders. Mark saying that, yeah, we've heard from other Honda riders that this bike is more safe, that we've had, we've been very competitive during the precision test, but there in the during testing, during winter, the because of the amount of bikes and the track time, the grip level was probably higher than the one they've had here. So otherwise, we Paul said that on low grip levels, this bike should be better than the others. So I think it's going to be interesting. Honda is a bit in the middle of something in a mess.
What is happening with Honda is kind of sort of what we've spoken about for a number of years whenever the subject of Honda needs to change the bike has come up, because we always said at the time they can't really do anything to take away Mark's feeling from the bike, because he rides in such a way that made the Honda dominant in his hands. They had to do that because obviously the injury in 2020, and you know, I guess throughout 2021 they never really knew what Mark they would get back, so they had to kind of, they were forced to in a sense. But now that we've gone under this bike, we know that some of the other, well, Paul kind of feels a bit better on it, but you know, Alex Marquez is struggling a lot, Taka is struggling, and obviously Mark's struggling, and there does seem to be this kind of a bit of a rift forming between Paul and Mark in terms of direction.
The problem is that we don't have the same Mark as we used to have. That's something to have in mind at the moment, because if Mark is in the same shape than he was 2 or 3 years ago, you say, okay, you need to change the bike. But at the moment, you have this question mark. You don't know if Mark will ever be the same than he was 2 years ago, because not because of me, because he says that. So that's the problem. But at the same time, which is obvious, is that they have a situation with that bike. And Mark starting to say, I've said that, I've said back, I've never liked this kind of bike because it forces me to ride it in a different way, which is not natural for me. And now we've seen that. I mean, in Portimao, it was the clear example. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I misunderstood the message. But from my understanding is, okay, you've changed the bike. Now you have me fighting with the other Hondas. Where? Not in front, but for P6, P7, P8. That's the problem.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, Mark's ridden a bike in one way for all of his MotoGP career. It's not, you know, people from the outside might think, oh, well, surely if he's a good rider, you can just change that. But it's not a simple case. Look at Dovi on the Yamaha, for example. This is a guy that was so quick on the Ducati. You cannot ride the Yamaha like a Ducati. You cannot then, you know, so in the same vein, you cannot change a Honda from one style to another and expect Mark to be like, oh, okay, fine, I'll just do it this way. It's, you know, it's a slightly different scenario because the car is struggling so much, but it's, you know, Lewis Hamilton's a great driver, but there's only so much he can do in the current Mercedes car. You know, it's not a simple case of, well, just do things a bit differently. It's that's not how it works.
Yeah, but I mean, it's even worse with the bikes because the input of the rider is much bigger on a bike than on a car with the driver. So I think that we've seen that with Jorge Lorenzo trying to adapt himself to the Honda.
Rossi on the Ducati.
Exactly. Rossi on the Ducati. And even now, it's even more obvious. So we would see that also with Fabio. That's why I think that he would never sign for Honda. Never. That he's not going to sign for Honda because I think he's clever enough to understand or to think that it won't be easy for him to adapt to the Honda. So I think that Honda has something interesting ahead and they will have to make decisions.
Yeah, for sure. It's very difficult to go from one bike to the other and be quick and change your riding style. It's not, you know, if you sit on the couch, then yeah, you could easily do that, but that's why you're not on the bike. So it will be interesting to see that. And hopefully Honda can figure it out because we need Mark fighting for the championship. MotoGP needs Mark fighting for the championship. We don't have a proper superstar right now, you know, aside from Mark, but he's not putting in the results. We need it, I think, as safe to say.
Yeah. We it's a bit of sad watching Mark where we... Yeah, saw him in Portimao because it's not the real champion than we know he is. So yeah, hopefully Honda will find the way to fix a bit the situation in the next coming races, and yeah, he will be able to recover these 38 points or at least part of these 38 points.
Well, it's not over for him. If you remember 2017, he was like 36 or 38 points behind at this similar stage of the season. So we know it is not over yet, but I guess the crucial thing for Honda will be Jerez and the test afterwards. I guess that's really what they're kind of looking at. Yuri, thank you very much, as always, for your company. It's nice to do these things in person and not over a Zoom. Of course, we won't be doing one next week because I'm not going to Jerez, but, you know, never mind. If you like what you heard, you can go and listen to all of our other podcasts. And, of course, keep reading everything on Autosport, motorsport.com from the Portugal weekend and, of course, this weekend Spanish Grand Prix as well. But until the next podcast, it is a very warm goodbye.